Defence Minister Richard Miles says the government is working through the Pentagon's much-anticipated review into the AUKUS pact. It comes after Australia announced earlier this week it would reorganise its defence bureaucracy to improve defence spending and speed up the delivery of projects. Pat Conroy is the Minister for Defence Industry and joins me now. Minister, welcome back to Breakfast.
Morning, Sally. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Is there anything you can say about this AUKUS review and its contents as yet?
I'm not at this stage. We're working through the contents right now, but I obviously refer your listeners to the very positive comments from President Trump that AUKUS is full steam ahead. We're hitting all the major milestones, including the docking of USS Vermont in WA only last month, and things are going well. But as for the contents of the review, that's a matter for the US government.
Is it expected that the review will be made public?
Oh, well, that's a question for the United States government. I can't answer on their behalf. As I said, the Deputy Prime Minister and I have copies of it, and we're working through it now in a steady, methodical fashion.
So is it expected that the review would be published before Defence Minister Richard Miles and Foreign Minister Penny Wong meet their counterparts in Washington next week? Have you had any sense of that from the US?
I'm not going to go into confidential discussions with the US about those things. Ultimately, all I can say to your listeners is questions of when it will be released is a matter for the US government.
The government has announced, the government here in Australia, you've announced a major overhaul of defence earlier this week. Have you spoken to the US administration about this and how it might affect the AUKUS pact?
Well, in advance of the policy being announced, we obviously briefed important partner governments. I should stress that AUKUS Pillar 1, which is the delivery of the nuclear-powered submarines, is the responsibility of the Australian Submarine Agency, which is a separate agency to the Defence Delivery Agency that we announced on Monday. So they are getting on with the job of delivering the submarines. The Defence Delivery Agency is a once-in-a-50-year reform aimed at improving delivery of defence projects from both a schedule and budget point of view, and it is incredibly significant. I note some of your commentators that you had on earlier in the week got basic facts wrong about what it is and what it isn't. But I can assure your listeners that it's a very significant reform that will improve delivery of major capability projects, because we're all about getting equipment into the hands of the ADF as soon as possible, as well as making sure we get the best bang for buck for taxpayers' dollars.
How is this overhaul different from when we had the Defence Materiel Organisation? Is it back to the future in any way?
Absolutely not. And I heard Marcus Hellyer on your show earlier in the week, and he was absolutely wrong and demonstrated his ignorance. There are two key differences between a DMO and what we've adopted. The first is that this agency reports directly to the Minister for Defence and the Minister for Defence Industry. The head of the DDA is directly responsible to the two ministers. The DMO was reporting to the Secretary of the Defence Department and the CDF. And this might sound like a bureaucratic point, but it's really important. This agency is completely independent and autonomous from defence, so that it has the power to deliver these projects. The DMO, in the end, was subjected to the decisions and the views and the concerns of the Department of Defence. The second key difference, which goes to its independence and autonomy, is that it has direct control over the budget for projects once government has approved them. The DMO still had to go through the Defence Department for its budget. So if the heads of the Department of Defence decided that they weren't going to prioritise funding project delivery and they needed to allocate those funds to something else, they would do that instead. So this is an independent agency controlling its budget, reporting directly to the ministers, which means that it is in a much better position to improve schedule delivery and budget performance for these really important projects.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast, and my guest is the Minister for Defence Industry, Pat Conroy. Minister, Australia will start manufacturing guided multiple launch rocket system missiles this month after the opening of a new factory at Port Wakefield in South Australia. How many jobs will this factory opening create?
The initial factory will create around 20 jobs at it and hundreds of jobs in the supply chain. This is a really exciting announcement. This is the first time that a factory outside the United States, and only the second factory in the world, that will be reducing these really important missiles. And this is a key commitment we made during the election, that by the end of this year, we would start making missiles in this country. We only announced this intention last year, so we moved very fast to establish this missile factory, which is all about equipping the ADF with the best equipment to deter conflict, as well as contributing to the local employment base. So this is a very significant announcement that also increases our sovereignty and self-reliance and makes us less dependent on overseas supply lines.
Who will be the factory's main customers?
For the initial factory, it will be for the Australian Defence Force. So the initial factory will be capable of producing 300 GMLRS rounds a year, so 300 of these particular missiles. But then we have an intention of building a bigger factory that could produce up to 4,000 rounds. And that's not just to satisfy our needs, but also to potentially export to places like the United States and other allies and partners. I signed I witnessed a statement of intent being signed in the United States last month or 2 months ago that put this into effect. This is really important. This is about us shifting towards not just contributing to our own industrial base, but to those of allies. And this is good for us. It means more independence and sovereignty for us. It means we get these rounds cheaper because we've got bigger scale, and it means more jobs for Australians.
The Port Wakefield factory is only the second facility in the world to produce this rocket system outside Lockheed Martin's facility in Arkansas. What does this reflect strategically for the region?
Well, it reflects that we are facing very uncertain strategic circumstances. We're facing a significant arms build-up in the region, and we've had to respond appropriately, which is about transforming the Australian Army into one focused on littoral manoeuvre and long-range strike focus, so that it can keep any potential adversary further away from Australia and hopefully deter conflict. So what we're doing here is about increasing our sovereignty and self-reliance, growing jobs in our economy, and then giving the ADF access to the most modern weapons possible.
If later these are sold on to other countries, who will have the say on where and how they are used? Will that be Lockheed Martin, or will Australia have a say in where and how these missiles are used?
Any defence equipment that we sell overseas is governed by our export licensing arrangement. So we have to have absolute confidence about the end user, and we approve the end user.
Yesterday, Australia committed to providing $95 million in military assistance to Ukraine, including $43 million worth of ADF equipment. Retired M1A1 Abrams tanks are also being gifted to Ukraine. When will all of the 49 tanks eventually arrive?
Well, the vast majority have already arrived, and that's really important to assure your listeners. The vast majority have already arrived, and the last few are in transit. And this is a really significant gifting. I had the honour of announcing this when I represented Australia at the NATO Defence Ministers meeting in Brussels late last year, and most have arrived, and the last few are on their way.
Will the government gift its fleet of retiring Tiger helicopters to Ukraine?
The Deputy Prime Minister and I approached the Ukrainian government a few months back, asking them would they be interested in receiving the armed reconnaissance helicopters when they retire. And we recently received a confirmation that, yes, they would be interested in it. So we're going through the process now to make a final decision. But gifting to Ukraine is our top consideration, and I'm working closely with Defence to look at all those options as we support their valiant resistance to Vladimir Putin. The package we announced yesterday brings our total support to $1.7 billion and makes us the biggest non-NATO contributor of military assistance to Ukraine. That's a really important role that we're doing, and it's very important for Australia that we support the struggle of the people of Ukraine against this illegal invasion.
Does the government regret the decision now not to send the retired Taipan helicopters to Ukraine when Ukraine requested them?
Well, I think there's strong lessons we took from that experience, but I should say that a request wasn't received before the disposal of those helicopters began. But we've changed our processes to make sure that we give Ukraine full opportunity to express interest. So we've been very proactive in talking to them about equipment that's due to retire and whether they would be interested in it. And we've made it sort of a base assumption that if equipment is retiring, that the first consideration is, can this be used by Ukraine?
Pat Conroy, a Minister for Defence Industry, thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Sally. Have a good morning. Bye-bye.